celestial dove, with Jesus flock above, give us that blessing love.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for that prelude. That was taken from 1 Corinthians 13, which says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity," or love, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, or love. Love is our subject tonight. Go with me back to John 13. John 13. Let's read two verses again, which our Lord spoke. John 13, 34 and 35. The Lord says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now, I've been thinking about this all week long, and I hope it is a blessing tonight. The Lord said a great deal about love to His disciples, that is. He said it quite often to them, loving one another. And then later, the disciples themselves all who wrote epistles said something about this in their epistles, especially John, as you know. His whole book, 1 John, is about the subject of love. And why is it so important? Well, it is God's Word. But here's a few things. Number one, it's glorifying to God. This thing of love, loving one another, is glorifying to God. We'll see that in a moment. Number two, it is proof of the new birth. Proof of the new birth, a new creature. Because this is not natural. The kind of love we're going to look at tonight is not natural to man. So this is proof. The kind of love we're going to look at, true love, God-given love, is a mark of God's work on a human being, in a human being. And thirdly, love, could find no other way to put this, but love endureth all things. And love endures. Love will make faith endure. Faith will endure. Friendships will endure. Marriages will endure if love is there. How important is this? Without it, with nothing. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 13. All right? Love is glorifying to God. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Look at what it says of our Lord. It says that having loved His own, the last line, having loved His own, which were in the world, now that's proof of His love, that He left where He did to come to this place. And we can't really enter into that. But He did. He left where He was loved by all and all He loved, and yet came to a place that hated Him out of love. He did it out of love for His own. And it says, having loved His own which were in the world, how do we know He loved them? He loved them to the end. He never quit loving. That's true love. Never fails. And look at verse 31 and 32. It says, "Now when He was gone out," that is Judas, "the Lord said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself," and right away glorify Him. So God is glorified. God is glorified in God's love for us. It's glory to God that He would love us. You know that? We love those that love us. We love those with something lovely about them, or we think is lovely. Not God. There's nothing lovely He didn't see anything lovely in us when He loved us. That's glorifying to God, isn't it? To love the unlovely. Our Lord said that. We might get to it. He said, if you love those that love you, the publicans do that. What praise have you? Be like your Father who loved His enemies. Verse 34, our Lord said, this is a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. And by this, verse 35, by this, that is, if you love one another as I have loved you, then all men will know you're my disciple. Because as we said, this is not natural. Well, who are we to love? Well, our Lord told us. Look at Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I've already let it out. If you love those that love you, that's not thankworthy or praiseworthy. But Matthew chapter 5, look at what our Lord said in verse 44 and 45. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Publicans do the same. Verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, that is complete in your love, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So love is glorifying to God. It's proof. Well, it glorifies God, His love to us. And our love to Him is glorifying to His Holy Spirit, who put it there. And our love to one another is glorifying to Him as well, because it's not natural. Love is proof of being born of God. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, I was kind of, really this is a message with two or three texts. Two or three texts. This love is proof of a new creature, born of God. And he says this so many times throughout this epistle. 1 John 3, 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Amazing love. We sing that song, amazing love. How can it be that God would love a soul? Behold, he says, stop and think about it. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we, like old Mephibosheth, would be called the sons of God. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God. We are, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we are, right now. Well, how do you know? We'll go down to verse 11. Now, this is what you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 14, and we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. More about that in a little bit. Chapter 4. 1 John 4, look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, in a minute, we're going to see what this is talking about. Now, you know everybody out there that professes love is not born of God. There is familial love, family love. There is love out there for various things and objects and between people. That's not the love that this is talking about, real love. That kind of love won't last, but this will, and we'll see in a few minutes. Chapter 5, look at chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat, that is God, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. That is, He loves God's people. You love the Father, you love His children. It's like your father, your earthly father. You love Him, you love your brothers. Right? It's there. It's there, no matter what. That familial love. And so is this. And then we said the third thing about this love is that it endureth all things. It always endures and endures all things. In Hebrews 12, what a verse this is. Hebrews 12, talking about our Lord's love for His people. In verse 2, it says, Christ, for the joy that was set before Him. And you could say the love for His people. The joy being that He loved His people so much. And it was His joy and rejoicing to make us His people. Please the Lord to make you His people. Because He loved them. That He, here's what He did. He endured the cross. He endured the cross. Despised the shame. That is, thought nothing of all the shame He was put through. Thought nothing of it. Why? Because He loved His own. And you would do the same for those you love. All right. Now, Romans 5 says this. Now, you don't have to turn there. But it says in verse 5 of Romans 5, the love of God has been shed abroad in the hearts of His people by the Holy Spirit. The love of God. It is true. Everyone whom God, the Holy Spirit, gives life to through the Word, see, He puts this love of God abroad, sheds it abroad, fills their hearts up with this love, love of God. And this love of God, this love of God is several things. Now you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13, all right? And this is where we'll stay the rest of the evening. 1 Corinthians 13. You had to know that we'd go there, didn't you? To describe love. But this love of God, it says the love of God that's shed abroad in the hearts of God's people by the Holy Spirit is, you could read that different ways. The love of God. All things work together for them that love God. The love of God is shed abroad in the hearts of His people. God's people love God. I mean, they love God as God. A lot of people say they do. But then you get to talking about God's rights, God's will, God's power, God's choice, God's... And they'll start gritting their teeth. And they don't love that God. They love their little measly God. But now God's people love God as God. I mean, their heart is full of this. They can't get enough of hearing this subject. Thy God reigneth. Love of God. Love God as God. They love all of God's character. This is important. This is vital. This is true love. They love all of God's character. They love the fact that He's holy. The world doesn't care, do they? Nobody's ever saying anything about that unless they sing that song that Sherry played. Thank you for playing it. But it doesn't mean anything to them. But God's people, it does. They know that He's holy, and they love that fact. And just somewhat, someday we're going to fully understand and appreciate why God is just and love that He is. Because His justice demands our salvation. His justice will prevent sin from ever entering again. You understand what I mean? His justice ensures that the blood of Jesus Christ actually put away sin. You understand what I'm saying, don't you, John? But they love God's justice. They love it. They love His mercy. There again, the world they don't think they need mercy. But God's people do. Oh, they love to hear about God's mercy. Sovereign mercy. They know it's got to be sovereign if it's mercy. And grace. Knowing how weak and helpless they are, they love to hear about God's sovereign grace. They love to hear that it's all of grace. Several of you smiling right now when I'm talking about this. Not the world. They like to hear about what all they do for Jesus. You know, but God's people, they love the fact. Or they love the character of God. The character of His grace, His sovereign grace. They love God's Word. All of it. I've asked you this before. And this is a good test. Is there any verse in this book that you wish wasn't in there? Honestly. Can you say that with in all sincerity, that there's not one? Well, the world, there are whole chapters in books altogether they wish weren't there. Right? They love God's Word. They love whatever God says, they love it. Why? Because He said it. I love John 3:16. Don't you? Sure I do. You do. They love God's ways. They don't understand everything. We're not called to understand everything God does. And as we said Sunday morning, we're going to see someday. We're going to know as we've been known. And we're we're going to be so thankful that God works all things according to His will. They love God's salvation. They love the way God saves sinners. They wouldn't have it any other way. It brings all glory to God. It gives God all the glory. And God's people who are really interested in God's glory, they love God's salvation. Oh, how I love thy salvation. It gives God all the glory. And, they love God's Son. They love God's Son. They certainly want Him having all the glory and the preeminence in all things. They love the fact that He's the only mediator. They love that. They would not have Him share His glory with Mary or anybody else for that matter. They love Him having the preeminence in all things. They love Him being the head of the church. They love Him being the surety of the covenant. They love Him being the intercessor, the advocate, and on and on. The Lord. Oh, don't they? So this is the love of God. They love God. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this love of God that's shed abroad in their hearts is the love of God. It's kind of love. Well, that's hard. That's a bad way to put it. Because God is love. You don't say it's the kind of love God has as if it's something. He is love. This is the way He is. And this love we're going to look at now, right now, is the love of God that's in the hearts of all God's people. It's not complete, it's not perfected, but it's there. It's there in degree. All right, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this is all you could very easily, and we've done this before, and I've kind of wrongfully done it this way because, you could apply every bit of this to Christ. You could change the word love to Christ and it works. But that's not why this was written. I mean, He does get the glory here, but it's an exhortation to us. This chapter is an exhortation to us to love as He loved. And we're certainly going to make application to His love for us. All right, the first three verses, he's speaking to those who are just professors of religion. He says, now, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, the great high-sounding orator, intellectual, if I have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You run into those characters in Pilgrim's Progress yet? Sarah, Mr. Sounding Brass and Tinkling Cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that is doctrine, I know the doctrine, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains, do great works, and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, no matter what sacrifice someone may appear to make in the name of God, though I give my body to be burned, and many have. They still do in the name of God and religion. And have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It profiteth me nothing. And before we go any further, let me just say something about this Islamic religion. There's no love in it. That's how you know it's not of God. No love in it whatsoever. None. It's all a religion of hate. What they accuse us of is what they're guilty of. That's how you know false religion. And our Lord taught love. All right, how does the love of God conduct itself? How is the love of God? Verse 4. Love Now, the word here is charity. Now, this is good. This is important. What do you think of when you think of charity? Giving. Don't say taxes. You think of giving. That's the word we use for charity, giving. Well, our Lord said to over in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So there's the word, charity, gave himself. Love is the word here, and the word we use is charity, but it's giving. All right, verse 4. Love suffereth long. Love suffereth long. The word is patient. Long suffering. Our Lord said, as I have loved you, you love one another. Be long suffering. Patient with. How has he been patient with? Peter said this. Listen to what Peter said in 2 Peter 3. He said, now you need to take into account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Let me read that again. Quote that again. He said, take into account that the long suffering of the Lord, the fact that He's patient with us, is our salvation. The disciples said, Lord, He said to them, how long must I suffer with you? Well, all their days. If He doesn't, if He ever quits, they're goner. And so, love one another as Christ loved us. How's that? Suffered long. Patient with. Now, if you want to save your marriage, you want to save a friendship, brotherhood and all that, you practice these things. You do as our Lord said. He said this. How many times did He say, this is my commandment? This is not an option. It's like Him telling His children, son, you better do what I say. And a wise son heareth instruction, right? And it'll be well with him. Hear my doctrine, he said over in the Proverbs. I'll give you good doctrine. It'll be health to you. Navel. It'll be good for you. It's true. The Lord saved his marriage. How long did the Lord's marriage last? Forever. Why? He loved his own to the end. And they will love him too. So this is, why is this so important? This was what was bearing on me for a week, thinking about this thing of love. It's really the answer to everything. That's why John puts in a whole book. It really is the answer to everything. It really is. You want to save your marriage? You love as Christ loved. Love is kind. Oh. Oh, my. Love is kind. Doesn't the sound of the word appeal to you? It's kind. Doesn't the sound of the word appeal to you? It's kind. Love is kind. How kind? The word kind means tender. Feeling, compassionate, considerate. How much, how kind has the Lord been to us? Huh? He said, you love one another as I love you. Be kind. Love is kind. Love is kind. Tender, compassionate, considerate. Love envieth not. Verse 4. Love envieth not. Let me read you a couple of proverbs about envy. Envy is a horrible thing. Envy and jealousy are synonymous. Envy is not happy with the prosperity or well-being of someone else. but rather you would have rather had it for yourself. That's what envy is. It's not being happy that someone else is doing well or prosperous or gets this or gets that, but you wanted it for yourself. You envy theirs. You would rather have it than them have it. And you're jealous that they have. Listen to this. Envy, Proverbs 14:30 says, is a rottenness to the bones. It rots you from the inside out. Envy, Proverbs 27:4 says, who is able to stand before envy? Like I said, envy and jealousy is not being happy with the prosperity of someone else. You're really not happy about it. You're jealous of it. That means you want it for yourself. And what all this kind of love is designed to do is kill self. This is what God Almighty does to everybody He works on. He kills self. Without exception, this is what God Almighty does when He creates a new creature in Christ Jesus. He kills self. Does that not describe our Lord, who is the only one deserving of recognition, who's the only one who ever lived who could have been proud? Yet He was. He denied Himself. Took upon Himself the form of a servant, who was equal with the Father, yet denied that high and lofty position to take upon and the form of a servant and look for the good and the happiness of those He loved. He came to serve. Envy. I've used your children before as an example in this, and if my son-in-law became president of the United States, and his wife, my daughter, was first lady of the United States, you think I'd envy his prosperity and his position? Well, I could have been a better one. Why him? And not? Don't be ridiculous. You would rather your children do much better than you, wouldn't you? You'd rather them have more than you. You'd rather them be... I think you'd rather them be smarter than you. I think that'll never completely be, because experience, you know, is the teacher, right? You can't ever catch up in experience. But you see what I'm saying. No, you don't envy those you love. And if there's love, there is love between brethren, and love doesn't envy the prosperity of a brother. No way. No way. Love envieth not. Love prefers the prosperity of a loved one. Love envieth not, whatever, attainments, possessions, beauty, wisdom, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter what it is. Love envieth not. Brother Mac back there, Kelly and I went out to help him build his big new barn. Man, it's a nice barn. That's a great barn. I love barns. And that's about as fine a barn as I've ever... Isn't it, Kelly? Whew, man, it's a fine barn. And I'm glad you got that part. I really am. I'm as happy for you as if it was mine. As a matter of fact, I got a favor to ask you. I bet she's going to let me use it. Guaranteed. I don't envy that. Do you? No way. Love doesn't do that. Doesn't do that. Got a new house? Wonderful. New car? Great. Fantastic. Love vaunteth not itself. Verse 4. Love vaunteth not itself. He's not puffed up. These go hand in hand. Vaunting means to boast or brag about yourself. Lovers of self are the only ones that do. In other words, you've been around people who clearly love themselves. And that's who they love to talk about. Can't wait for the subject to get around to themselves. And oh, how they love themselves, but they're the only ones that do. Love is not boastful or bragging. Love likes to talk about others. Love is not puffed up. Proud is the word, puffed up. Love is more interested in and complimentary of the one it loves. Mike Bartram is an accomplished pianist, isn't he? Isn't he? Gracious sakes. But the whole time he was here, I mean, he didn't want to talk about his piano playing. He didn't want to play the piano. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? I mean, those little grandbabies of his. About the ones that love. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Verse 5. Doth not behave itself in unseemly. The word unseemly is improperly, indecently, unbecoming, in a shameful manner. Now, everyone in here feels guilty about this. Everyone in here has lost it with somebody you love. I think. Maybe Stan hadn't. My mother hadn't. Sure should have, but there's very few who haven't. I'm guilty. How about you? Have you just plumb lost it and behaved in a shameful way to someone you love? But that's not the general characteristics of this love. It may happen. Peter, sitting by that fire, started cussing and carrying on, didn't he? Oh, man, well, he paid for it, didn't he? And then later on, when the Lord called Peter, he said, "Do you love me?" "Oh, you know I do. I sure didn't act like it, did I? But you know I do." But love doth not, generally speaking, doth not behave itself inappropriately or improperly or in an unbecoming way. But love behaves decently and kindly. Love seeketh not her own. Love seeketh not her own. This is what we were, somewhat of what we were talking about. Love does not seek its own rights and will and so forth. Love does not. This is why true love to God wants God's rights, right? Wants God's will to be done, not my will. Our Lord was a perfect example of that, was he not? He said, "Not my will." He's the only one that could say, and he did one time, Brother Henry. He said, "Father, I will," in his prayer. I'm glad he said that. "I will that they be with me where I am. Those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory." I will. He could have said that all his life. "This is what I will." But never, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He truly loved the Father's will. He came to do the Father's will. And love to God, true love to God, seeks the will of God, His will, His rights. And love to one another does the same. The welfare, the happiness of others. "Greater love hath no man than this," it was said of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He laid down His life for His friend. "He who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich." Oh, He sure didn't seek His own, did He? But He sought the good, the welfare, the happiness of His people. He became poor. Love is not easily provoked. Verse 5. Love is not easily provoked to anger, that is. It's not touchy, not too touchy, not resentful, not easily offended. Now this again goes back to this thing of regeneration. When God starts working on somebody, He kills self, starts killing self. He starts showing us what we really are. He reveals to us we're sinners. And every one of God's people think they're the chief of sinners. Every one of God's people think they're the worst of the worst. Every one of God's people say with the Apostle Paul, I'm less than the least. I'm not fit to be called a saint. You'd ask Jacob that. He said, oh, I'm not fit to be called a saint. You ask Lot that. I'm not fit to be called. Ask Peter. I'm not fit. Ask Paul. Oh, I'm the worst. And on it goes. And that's what God does when He begins this work. And so, those who think right thoughts of themselves, that is, that I'm nothing, I'm a chief of sinners, shouldn't be easily offended, should we? We shouldn't be easily offended. How many times have I told you that what Charles Spurgeon said, and you laugh every time, you'll say it and you'll do it again. Spurgeon said, if somebody says something bad about you, don't get mad. Just be thankful that they didn't tell it all. It's so true, isn't it? Be thankful that God is the only one that really knows us. Be thankful that our thoughts of just today are not put up on a screen for everybody to see. How could you offend someone who's so offensive? Like a death row criminal. How could you offend a death row criminal? Well, but love is not easily provoked by one it loves. Not easily provoked, not easily offended, not touchy and resentful, because, read on, love thinketh no evil. Verse 5, love thinketh no evil. Love never intends to do evil toward the one it loves. It does sometimes. I mean, we do. Our Lord doesn't. Our Lord is love. He cannot do evil. He is incapable of doing wrong to His people. We do. But we don't mean it. You understand? True love doesn't mean it. It does evil sometimes. But the tenor of true love, the bent of the wheel of true love, never intends to do evil to the one it loves. Right? Never. Always wants the best. And children, young people, now listen to me now. We've said this to you before. Your teachers have told you this. Your parents love you more than anybody else. And they will never, ever say or do anything to you intentionally to hurt you. Never. Love can't do that. Right? Mothers? It can't. The love of a mother, true love for a daughter, cannot do evil toward that child. This kind of love won't let it. And so, but your friends now who say they love you and say they like you and say they're your friends and all that. The world's love is a selfish love. They love you for what they can get out of you. You're going to find out someday. You're going to find out someday. And it'll be a hard and cruel lesson, won't it? Some that you thought loved you stab you in the back. But now, true love can't do that. Love thinketh no evil toward the one. It never intends evil. It may do something and at time, but it really didn't intend it. Thinketh no evil. If you have a true pastor and teachers sent by God to have this love, they're never going to tell you what's wrong. No, sir. They're not counting your head. They don't want to baptize you. They want you to know Christ. They want you to grow up to be a believer. They're interested in your soul. And they will not do evil to you. Unlike these dudes, you know, that are being caught with all this stuff. Whew. They may act out of, you know, bad at times, but that's not their intention. They don't think evil, but good. Verse 6 says, Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love is never glad when a brother fails or falls. Love is never glad when somebody falls into sin or fails or makes a horrible mistake or does wrong. Love is not glad of that. Never. Never. But rejoiceth in the truth. Look at the next line. Rejoiceth with the truth. There's a proverb that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. In other words, if a man thinks suspiciously of somebody, he's skeptical of somebody, he doesn't believe somebody, he thinks the worst about him, he thinks, ah, he's got a hidden motive. You know, you run into pessimists and skeptics and cynics and people that, you know, just won't believe, just think the worst about everybody. Why does he do that? Because that's the way he is. You understand? He thinks the worst about people because that's the way he is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The proverb said. Proverbs 23:7. An evil man or woman is suspicious of others. He's rotten and dishonest, so he thinks everybody else is. Right? He's trying to take me. Oh, no, but not love. The Lord said this one time. The Lord, they accused him of evil. And the Lord said to them one time, is thine eye evil because mine is good? In other words, he was saying to them, you don't think it's possible that somebody could actually do well. Because you're evil, he said. Well, God's people, love thinketh, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, thinketh no evil. Love of God is not suspicious of others. It's not suspicious of others, those they love. Verse 7, love beareth all things. The word bear is cover. Turn to Proverbs 10. This is several times in the proverb. Proverbs 10. Turn over there quickly. We're almost finished. I kind of think this is profitable, don't you? Proverbs, if you don't, then I'll go almost start at the beginning right now. You're the one that needs it. Proverbs 10 says this several times. Love beareth all things. The word is actually cover. Bears over. Covered. Proverbs 10, verse 2. 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. It covers them all. Chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer, a gossiper, revealeth secrets. He wants to tell all the dirt about somebody. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. The Lord said, love one another as I loved you. What has he concealed? What has he covered? Everything about it. Everything about it. My wife quoted me an interesting quote by some woman on marriage. Jenny gave it to her. Says, you know, when you fall in love with somebody and you marry someone, when you first meet them, fall in love with them and marry them, there's about 80% about those people, that person that you like, that you love. It's impossible that somebody be perfect. Absolutely, 100%. But there's about 80% of that person that you fell in love with and liked. The other 20, well, you just kind of look over it. You think, I can change that 20%. And this person, this is pretty smart. This person said, what you do then is spend the rest of your years married trying to change that 20%. And you might change 1%.
and the other 19 drives you crazy.
But what you ought to do,
it's just 19%. Just 20. Just try to cover the 20. Think about the 80. That's pretty good advice then. But now let me give you the supreme example. What percent of us did the Lord fall in love with? What percent of us does He cover and bear with and put up with? 100. God, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Nothing lovely at all about us. He had to cover it all. Love covereth all sins. We just have 20% to deal with. That's pretty good advice. Now, don't just remember that and forget the rest of this sermon, okay? Don't you dare. That's just some silly woman said that. Pretty good. Well, our Lord said it. Love beareth all things. Puts up with all, or that is, covers over all things. Love believeth all things. Look at the next thing. Love believeth all things. That is, believes the best. You love somebody. That son or daughter or husband, whoever, brother, sister, whoever it is, no matter what they're like, you believe the best. You're just going to believe the best for them, don't you? That's it, then. That's love. I just believe now God is going to have mercy on them, be gracious to them. I believe about a brother. He's talking principally about us to one another, love one another, and one of us starts acting unseemly. Love says this. Love says, I just believe God has done a work in him or her now, and I just believe that the Lord's going to pull him out of this or her out of it. I just believe that. Why? Why do they say that? The person's not giving any indication. Why? Because they love them. Love just believeth all things. Well, God can do all things. So believe Him. Believe, hope with all things. Love hopeth all things. Love never gives up hope for the one it loves, does it? Love never gives up hope for the one that it loves. True love never gives up hope for the one it loves. But hopes for their good, hopes for the best, and therefore it endureth all things. Verse 7. Love endureth all things. Love says this, sure looks bad, but I'm going to hold out hope, and I'm going to put up with all this, and maybe this will pass, and I hope, but I love it, love her. Thinking about yourself, how that God has put up with you, forbear with you, and long-suffering, and endured us, and will continue to do so. And in conclusion, the last thing, verse 8, charity, that is love, never faileth. Never faileth. Now, our Lord said, you love one another as I loved you. How does He love us? He never quits. He never will quit loving us. His love never ends. I have loved them with an everlasting love. Aren't you glad? This is why I despise this the world's, what they say about the love of God. It's why I despise it. According to them, hell is full of people that God still loves. Or quit loving them. That doesn't give me any hope. Is it you? If God, I tell you what does, is that God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, the loving kindness I've drawn you, I'll never quit love. Before you were born, I loved you. Before you were formed in the belly, I loved you, called you, chose you. And I'll never quit loving you. Your mother and father may forsake you, but not me. Now, that kind of love gives me
great peace. Cast out fear. That perfect love of His casts out fear. And you know, as He is, so are we in this world.
Love never quits. Never quits loving the one that loved. Someone said, I don't love you anymore. That's not possible. You never did. Never did. Having loved His own, He loved them unto the end. Now, I started this all out by saying, you want to save your marriage? Love is Christ's love. Save your friendship. Love is Christ's love. You want to save this church? This brotherhood, this fellowship we have? Love is Christ's love. Love endureth all things, and love never fails. Never fails. Nothing will fail where true love is concerned. Nothing. How important was it? Very important.